to be able to be righteous before God. And there's no middle ground here. There's no medium. There's no going one way or the other. I mean, besides that, there are only those who do a selection. And so making your body a living sacrifice. And then verse 2 deals with the fact that we have a transformed life. And that basically is just a fancy way of saying you got to change. You can't keep doing what you're doing. We cannot keep on serving sin. We're going to be a slave to either sin or a slave to righteousness. And we've got to be able to distinguish the difference between the two. And the only way of distinguishing between the two, according to Hebrews chapter 5, is that we need to take the solid food, which is the Word of God, and consume that. We don't need to continue to be on milk. We need to get away from the milk of the Word, not that we reject that, but that we've come to a more mature stage, and we need to be able to take the physical, the spiritual food, which will help us mature to that particular point. And so it calls for a transformation of our mind. And as we look at this transformation of the mind here, we see that it has to do with proper thinking. We need to think differently. We need to have a new way of thinking. We need to think about those things that God would have us to do in service to Him and to follow His way. And you know, that's a real challenge. I don't know how you feel on a daily basis as you're confronted with things, but you know, Satan is there. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and that's you and me. And when we live in a daily life, it's different than what we are when we're sitting here on the pews. We have all sorts of temptations that come our way. And you think that you don't have any temptations or it's not all that bad out in the world, then perhaps maybe you need to sit down and understand what God's will is for you and for all of us in order to see that God's way is the only way that we must do. The sad part about it is that perhaps we already know what God wants us to do, but we say, well, that's just a little too harsh. That's a little too difficult. And that's the problem of that sacrificial life, is giving up those things that seem pleasurable or all right in the world's eye, and instead take on the mind of Christ and to follow in His footsteps and to do His will and His way. Because the life of this world, according to James, is but a vapor, a short period of time. And I can tell you that after the life that I've lived so far, it just seemed like it's just gone by crazily fast. And I can remember a lot of the things that's happened. In some ways, it just seemed like it just happened yesterday. We just had a class reunion, 50 years. And we were talking, discussing the things that took place, and there were visible remembrances of those things that seemed like, man, it was only yesterday. We walked around the campus. We saw some of the changes that took place. But we walked in some of the old buildings and stuff like that and saw where we sat in a particular desk or where we were at a particular time and things that happened with a particular teacher and whatever else. And they're also fresh in our mind to a certain extent. They come back to us and we say, how did time get away from us so much? All of us are basically in retirement, have grandchildren and the like. Life is but a vapor, and it passes very, very quickly. And if we are not prepared for eternity, then there are some serious problems. And I don't care how young you are, as you look out in this life and whatever else, I can tell you of a lot of people that I have known in my life that have died at a very early age. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter in the world today what your age is. Things will come into your life that can produce a termination of your life on this earth. And there are people that do that on a regular basis. I recall Again, back to the family, the reunion we had with at school, we realized that there's already one third of our class is gone. And I feel inside me there's still a young man there. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, I feel as much enthusiastic about living as I always have, and want to keep on doing the will of God and stuff like that. But the old body is beginning to buck up and said, you can't do that. You can't do those things anymore. And we watched a football game. And I remember playing football. And we looked out there and see those guys hitting close up and the like. And we realized, man, I tell you what, we'd probably go to pieces if we hit like that today. And so, it just comes along. And it does. And these things that we're talking about today, whatever age you are, is going to happen to all of us. And the only thing that will stop that is death. And when that death comes, then reality of eternity is upon us. And by that time, if you've not made the right decision to serve God, it's a little late. I've got another sermon that I teach on what it's hell like. And I tell you what's very devastating to think about it. It's in the Bible, just as much of the Word of God as anything else. But as we stop and think about that, we've got to work with a proper thinking in our minds. And so as we look at this, the battle of the mind, going back to Romans chapter 6, verse 12, that is the battle that we go with every day. We've got to confront ourselves with things that are going on. I'd like to go back to an incident very early in this world when God made Adam and Eve and put them on this earth and told them to tend the garden alike. They had children. Two of the children that we know about, chapter 4 of Genesis, is Cain and Abel. And of course, anybody that has sinned in the Bible class at some time has gone across that particular story. What's interesting to note, and apparently, because of what they did, God must have given them instructions about making some kind of a sacrifice. And so there those two boys are. One of them is a keeper of animals, and that's Abel, and he presents an animal to sacrifice to God. And God was pleased with that. Now, I don't know if it was the difference in the kind of sacrifice it was. The Bible really didn't say. But then you have Cain who comes, and he's a farmer, and so he offers the fruits of his produce that he grew on the ground. And for whatever reason, whether it was improper aspect from the standpoint that that which he offered was not what God had intended for him to give from the fruit of the ground, or whatever it was, God was not happy. And it became apparent to Cain that God was not happy. And so Cain got mad. And you know who he got mad at? He got mad at his brother. Why? Because his brother was got an A on the test and he got an F. And so, he's looking out and says, man, that guy makes me look bad. I don't like him anymore. Even though he's my brother, I'm going to do something about it. Before that happened, God comes and talks to Cain. That's an interesting situation. Of course, back in these times, God spoke directly to the patriarchs and to those that were on the earth at that time. And here is Cain, with his face all bent out of shape, and God says, Cain, why is your face fallen? He said, if you do well, will you not be accepted? But if you don't do well, understand that sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. And that was tremendous advice, because today we have the same thing. The Bible talks about the lion of Satan. Satan is a lion roaring lion, going about seeking whom he may devour. Now the idea is that, for example, there's a door right there. And let's just say that was a door much like Cain was facing in his time. And on the other side of that door is a roaring lion. And for whatever reason, Cain can choose to open or close that door, or keep it closed. And instead, Cain decides to open the door just to take a peek at what happens, thinking that, you know, it's not going to hurt me just to take a little look or whatever, that just to do it for a little while, whatever how that mentality goes. But instead, that lion is so powerful that he runs through that door and devours that person before he knows whatever hit him. And that's sin and Satan. And we play with it all the time. We go around and say, well, you know, nobody's looking. Nobody will know. You know, and God knows. And that's all that's important to. And so when we sin, we bring reproach upon God and deny God and really wind up being in contrary to His will. And that's sin. And that's where we need to change the way we're living. And so as we're talking about this, it's a battle of the mind. And Satan is on one side. He says, no, man, you've got to do this. And on the other side, God is saying, no, follow my will, and you will have the best life. In 2 Timothy, it talks about bodily exercise is good for the physical body, a little bit. But godliness is for a continuation of things that are good. As a matter of fact, let me read that passage to you. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, that says, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. And what it's saying, basically, this, Christianity is not only the way to live, but it's the best way to die. And we're all going to die someday. And if we're not preparing ourselves for the times we ultimately will leave this earth and confront God, then we're going to be in serious problems. So he's saying, give your body as a living sacrifice and realize that you're in a battle with Satan for control of the mind. And in self-control, it says, according to the measure of faith that God has assigned us. And that word there, measure, there, from the original language there, it gives a determinate extent, portion, measure of, measure or limit. And so it is specific here that God has given us the ability that to be able to resist this if we will follow His will and His way through life. And so, now let's get down into the meat of what we want to talk about for the next few minutes. And that is that God has given us talents. And I was read by Jim this morning about chapter 12, verses 5 through 8. There is a list of 7 different gifts there. We are to use our gifts. As a matter of fact, here in this verse, it says having the gifts differently according to the grace given to us, use them. We want to make sure that we understand here that these are not miraculous gifts, except for the very first one, which is the gift of prophecy and the like. But all the others are very common and can reside in all of us. And I don't know if you've ever stopped and did a personal inventory and say, What am I good at? What is the thing in my life that gives me the most pleasure, but yet at the same time is a valuable tool that I can use for the good of mankind and for myself in this life? What if somebody was to put on my tombstone, this was what this man was, and could put it in one sentence, what would that be? What is the gift that God gave you? I know Brian means singing. There's an excellent job of singing in Water Rail South. My dad loved to sing. And, oh man, I tell you what, he would sing. He was a foreman on a cotton ranch out in Arizona where he grew up, and the like, and he was driving tractors and things of that nature. And I know out on the desert early in the morning, when there's no wind and it's just real calm, and the air is still heavy from the night and the like, he'd be on the back of a tractor, and he would sing to the top of his voice on the back of that tractor, and you could hear him from miles away. He ultimately became an elder, but there's one thing they never asked him to do, and that is to lead singing. my dad used to carry a tune in a basket. I mean, he used to do that. That just was not his talent. And where do you get that talent? I mean, where do you get that ability to be able to do that? I don't know. It's just a part of your nature and the capacity to be able to do it. You've got the ear to hear the music and follow along. I know when I was in the sixth grade, we started band, and before we could get into the band, there was a few little tests that they had to do. And I remember the band director testing me to see if I could tell the difference between ta-ta-ta-ta or ta-ta-ta-ta and all of those different ways and stuff like that. And it was important to see if I could detect rhythm and things of that nature to be a part of being that way. And, you know, I was able to do it. I don't really have a particular talent that stands out, but I have a lot of areas in which I'm useful in. And so, you know, it kind of bears out a little bit here on that. But you might have something. I mean, I love to play football. Wasn't very good at it, but I played. I love to play run track. I wasn't really all that good at it, but I did what I could with the talent and ability I had. And that's what counts. And then, you know, we have competition between different ones. And so as we stop and think about talents and ability, some of these come naturally. You look at a person that is really talented gymnastically or really talented hitting a baseball. You ever stop and think what it takes to hit a baseball? I'm really into the baseball through the season, whatever else. My team's in there. I'm telling you what, they're in there. They're the Astros, just so you know. Go Astros. But anyhow, I look at the second baseman, Jose Altuve. That man, he's incredible about making contact with the ball. And I tell you what, I stand up there and whack at it as best I can and can't even come close. And he just got a natural athletic ability. And so what we're talking about is that we have different abilities in the body. And so in verses 4 and 5, they're talking about there's many members, and each member has their own talent. And those talents are to be a part of the whole body so that every part of the body is able to function and do what it's supposed to do in order to make things work right. Now, I've got two hands. And just like you, okay? And I know that some of you can do wonders with the left hand. I have a brother. He works with the left hand. And he's always telling me, yeah, I'm left-handed, but I'm right-brained. And you're right-handed, and you're left out. But anyhow, so we have a little fun with that and the like. But nevertheless, you know, I try to write with my left hand, and it just looks like him scratching. I try to write with my right hand, it looks like him scratching, but at least I control it. But that's the physical nature that I use. How does that happen, you know? Apparently, it's a part of your chemical makeup as you were born, and you have that particular ability. Now, there are all kinds of abilities that you have, but they're for the function of the body. I've got two legs, and they're meant for mobility and stuff like that. I have two arms, and those are for reaching out and grasping and things of that nature. All of the things that we use our hands for, like waving around like a wild-eyed preacher, you know, and things like that. But we have different abilities with our physical bodies, and that's in a comparison with the body of the Lord. Now, a few years back, one of my knees decided it was tired, and it began to hurt. And I'm saying, man, I'll tell you what, that hurts. Got out in Costa Rica And I tell you what, I couldn't move. It was just locked up, and I said, what's this about? Well, you know, I could take my other leg and kick that leg, you know, but I mean, it's, you don't do that. You ever worked with a hammer and nails or something like that? And you got one hand holding the nail, the other one's holding the hammer, and all of a sudden you hit the lung like that, and bam! Oh, man! You look at stupid thumb, get out of the way, you know? You don't do that. What happens? You grab that thing, boy, you begin to work it. Oh, man, let's make it better. And suck on it a little bit. Wow, man, you're doing everything. The whole body is hurting because that one thumb got hit. And so you're working to try to get it back into normal condition. They're like, yes, so you can go and do what you're doing. Because you need that hand. You need that thumb. And you need to work. If you don't believe it, cut that thumb off and see how good you can grasp something. Oh, it's your left hand. It's not the hand you write with. But let me tell you something. You'd be in serious trouble. That's the Lord's body. And each of us have a job. We have a talent. We've got ability. And when we are not working and using our ability as God imparted to us, then we are not, we're really a particular handicap to the rest of the body. So let's look now at what God is talking about, these seven different talents and ability. They're found in verses 6 through 8. And as we look down through there, there's those seven. We only talked about prophecy, and it's talking about prophecy. It comes from God, miraculous in nature. And so that's not available for us today. The miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit ceased when the apostles died. And that's a lesson to itself later on. But we look down through these and we see these seven items here. Prophecy, servants, teach, exhort, contributes, leads, acts of mercy. And as we consider this, let's consider these different capacities. Of course, the one about prophecy, as I mentioned to it, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21 says that prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke how? As they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, since the miraculous nature of the Holy Spirit is not among us today, because we have the Bible, and the giving of the miraculous nature of the Holy Spirit was to confirm the Word so that we would know what God's Word was for us. When something new came along, it was the stamp and saying, this is from God. And so we don't have the miraculous nature of prophecy. The next things that we see here is one of service. And that is ministering in the capacity of the ability that we particularly have. And all of that is just completely different and the like, depending on what are the things that you like to do to be able to serve. Obviously, we've got some sick folks here, right? Well, one of the good things that you could do, and some of you are really good at, writing a little note, maybe, and put it in the mail, so I hope you get well quick. That's great. Maybe you're the type that can go back and say, you know, what can I do for you? I know when my wife gets down, the house goes to pot. And I know, you know, I try to do my best and stuff like that. But it was awesome. I said, hey, let me help you. We know that she's down, and let's help and stuff like that. And then bring over food and like that. That's great and wonderful. So it's service. It's all different capacities of service and whatever else. Somebody has an accident of some sort, whether it's damage to the house, damage to the car, and stuff like that. I'm sure that there are those within this congregation that said, look, I can help you with that. Fix your car. I can help you with that house. I can mend that thing and go over and do that. That's service, meaningful service to help members as they have need. You know, you look back in the first century, and it said they had all things in common. They would go out and even sell land and stuff like that so that they'd have the wherewithal to be able to help out those who were desperate needs and needed help and funds and things of that nature. They had all things in common and they shared together. And that was serving one another. Then there's the aspect of teaching. And that is where you share material with someone else to hold a discourse with others in order to instruct them. and the like. And there's a talent in that. I know some of you are school teachers, probably, and involved in a school situation, maybe even in the company you're in. You're required to teach different courses to the employees of that company. You've had to develop that talent and the like. You know, some of you probably have never even thought about doing this. Oh, I could never do that. Get in front of somebody and help them to do that. How do you know? How do you know that that's not one of your gifts that God has given you and you've become very good at it? And the like. And some of them are sitting on the pew right now that you should be teachers by this time. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, but instead you're needing milk to be taught yourself. And so the church goes limping along because it didn't have enough teachers, didn't have anybody to be able to help. So teaching is an ability that perhaps some of you may have. The aspect of exhorting, that is to address, to speak to in the way of exhortation, entreat, the comfort, to instruct. And there's two sides of that. Exhorting can be, hey, you can do it, man. And there are those kind of people that are good. As a matter of fact, they get involved with different groups and teams and stuff like that. It may be in the sales force, and he said, yeah, you guys, yeah, I know you can do it. Here's the strategy for the day. Go out, let's do it. A football team, we're in football season now. The coaches that have the greatest ability to motivate their team generally wind up being the successful coaches, and they can really do that. They can exhort there. I think I said, guys, look, you're just as good as they are. The man across the line is fit, flesh and blood just like you are. And what you got to do, you can do your job as you deal with this game. And so they exhort. And, of course, preaching has exhortation, too. And that exhortation is bound in the fact of, again, encouraging and trying to help people to do better. And it also has a negative side and an important side as well. And that is, look, you know better than that. And I expect more of you than doing that in exhortation. And that's important, good to do. And there are some people that have a knack for that, an ability to be able to make sure that they help out, that they step up to the plate and are able to say, no, that's not the way to do it. You find it in coaching, you find it in the world and the like. I know I work for the telephone company, and they demanded certain strict rules as you're putting in telephones and things of that nature. And my supervisor would come by and check it out. And if I was doing it wrong, he would let me know. And it's important because you've got to be able to do it right. And that's the same thing with us on a regular basis. We've got that ability, some of us, that could be of a great service to others. And then, of course, as we go along, giving. And that is sharing your worldly possessions and things. Yeah, not necessarily money, but just saying, look, God has blessed me with what I have. How can I help somebody else out with it to that extent? I know I got friends and neighbors around me, and I tell you what, I try to let them know, look, I've got a shop over there. If you want to come over and use it sometime or work with it, please do. I consider that as a gift from God, and I want to share it with others and whatever, and it can help them out. It'd be great. And there's a lot of us that have different things that we can share with and give to those that are less fortunate than that. They're not being able to have it. And some of us have a greater ability in that area than others. Leading. And that is someone who steps up to the front and says, okay, guys, here's the plan. And say, here's what we're going to do. And have that capacity that just really captures your attention and say, yeah, okay, yeah, I understand. Great. And they have the ability to lead and to be able to work with a group of people and stuff like that and get everybody on the same page to be able to accomplish the task that's there. And it's leadership. Some of you have the leadership ability. It may be dormant. It may not be in use right now. And you could use it for the glory of God, and maybe not. The last one we're talking about is shows mercy. And that is to console, to have mercy on, to succor the afflicted, and to bring about the help to the wretched. I tell you what, Yeah, if you've ever been in a hospital, have you ever noticed that being in the hospital, being sick, you know you're there for a reason, that is to rest and whatever else, and somebody comes in and sits down, man, just starts hoo-hawing and everything else, and just stays and stays and stays and stays and stays, and you know, you're trying to say, man, I need to sleep, I need to go to sleep, I need to rest, or whatever it is, and the like, and when that person leaves, you say, man, I'm glad now I can get some rest, and the like. But then there's the other type. You ever seen the other type that they come in and it's almost like spring just flowers out. And they say the right words. And they do the things that really encourages you. They don't overdo their time and they go out. And it's just like a fresh air that goes in. And there's people, some of you are that kind of people that can do that, that can, whatever. I think that ladies have a great deal of that. You talk about mothers doing that with children. You know, a child has some fever and crying and whatever else. Dad can pick them up and try to help with it and maybe somebody else pick it up. But mom can pick that child up and there's a difference. And then there's a real talent and ability like that. All of these are talents. And why do we talk about these things? We talk about these things primarily because in doing this, we are a part of a body that would help the church to grow and be all it can in the community. And so this morning, as we close this lesson, the purpose of the lesson is, what is your ability? And what have you been doing with that gift that God has given you? Are you able to use it to the glory of God to the point that you're helping this body of God's children to be able to take care of the jobs that He has assigned for us here within this community and this town and to the world as we have opportunity to come in contact with others? Today as you go out, how many people are you going to meet? I don't know. I like to challenge congregations all the time. I said, take a 3x5 card. And when you go, starting on the first day of the week, start making note of those that you come in contact that you have a short conversation with that you never know before. It might be the restaurant you go to right after service today. It may be going to a shopping place or whatever else. It may be just some happenstance that causes you to have a brief moment that you can talk with somebody else. The question is, are you using your talents in those instances that would help them to know that there's a God in heaven? To be able to help them to know that there are answers for their serious problems. And let me tell you something. We know that we have problems, but we know where to go to look for the answers. We got a world out there that doesn't know. How are we going to make a difference in that life? It's going to be because we use the talent God has given us. And when each of us is a member of the body of Christ is doing that, then that's when the church will have the greatest opportunity to reach the lost and to also to encourage those who come and participate in a regular service. If there's sin in your life and it's impeding you from doing what God has given you as a task to do, the talent that you have, why not confess that sin today and have the prayers of the church? Perhaps you're not a child of God. You've never been obedient to the Word of God, never put Him on in baptism. It's a great day today to by the faith that you have gained from hearing His Word, Romans 10:17, and by the fact that you are turning away from the old life, repentance, and by confessing that truly is God, Jesus is God's Son, and proclaiming Him before men, and then being buried with Him in baptism, that when you rise from that grave, the old man is dead, and the new life begins, and you can begin to live knowing that if God comes again, you're prepared because you are living the life under His will and His guidance. If that's your need today, won't you come right now while we stand and sing?